The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
Four championships in the last 5 years. Yeah, I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden.
We're back. Show numero dos. The Bay's Golden Days back in the house. I hope you enjoyed our NFL draft special we put out last week. And that's right. We are on iTunes and Google Play.
Yes,
so
sir.
There's no excuses anymore. You got to find us. You got to listen to us. And we're bringing you all the Bay Area news coverage from everywhere around the Bay. And, you know, we've been getting a lot of questions since we started this whole thing off. Why are we the Bay's Golden Days? Well, you got to think about it. For us, being born in the 90s, we've never seen this many Bay Area teams be this good. So we came, we sat down, and we thought, Bay's Golden Days, what's something that can represent us? Boucher, Graywall, Dyer, BGD Sports. And we've been covering this since 2010, back when the Giants first kicked it off with the first World Series win, right, Dyer?
Yep, that's right. And you know what they say in San Francisco about even years? We win all our championships in the even years. Three championships in the last 5 years. And you know what they say about San Francisco?
Well, that is exactly where the next destination for the Golden State Warriors will be, projectedly in the 18-19 season. But I am the G in BGD Sports. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. It's at BGD Sports. So definitely hit us up, give us a follow, let us know what you think. What the Bay is doing right now is ridiculous, and it is crazy, and I'm so glad that I can be young to experience it, because this will go down in history. Not even just the Warriors, like the Giants, just like right now, this time for being a Bay Area fan, because what better fan to be than a Bay Area fan? Right, Marcus?
That's right. Marcus Boucher holding it down, the B. Boucher, Bay's Golden Days, and I gotta give it to us. Right now, it is historic timing in the Bay Area. Not only the Warriors, but the San Jose Sharks are also holding it down. This is the first time that there have been two teams in the Bay Area, both in the conference finals of their sport at the same time. We've also had the Niners the past couple years, who had a decent run.
Kill that mother Patrick Willis.
And now we got the Raiders.
Oakland Raiders.
Who are a lot of young, up-and-coming players.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
We had the A's with run. So we got a lot of talent going on in the Bay, a lot of performers, and it's just a great time to be a sports fan. And that's why today we're going to break down the whole NBA Western Conference Finals and the Eastern Conference Finals, because we got to get you covered, because the Warriors and the Thunder were in town. Game one, game two, the preview.
This is a thrilling matchup that everybody has been anticipating. Here comes Curry. Curry drives past Adams, reverse, backs it in. Oh, gorgeous play from Stephen Curry. Curry, another three. Oh, it's good! The Curry eruption continues!
Curry putting moves on the rack through the double. Able to beat the rim and score! Curry!
Trying to pick it up. Holds on, throws it ahead to Iguodala. Three, backdoor Thompson, reverse layup, banks it in, and a foul! Durant, nice crossover and finish.
Thompson has not taken the ball, rejected by Ibaka.
Westbrook sidestep, oh! Durant picks up Curry. Curry crossover, steps back, puts it up, puts it in! Ibaka back out, Durant for three, bang!
Kevin Durant continuing to be spectacular all night long. KD, mama, there goes that man.
They do have a timeout, decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown, bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! And he ties the NBA record with his 12th three-pointer of the game. What a game from both teams. One of the most compelling regular season games you will ever see.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play!
Warriors! did not come out to play game one. They did not look like they were ready for the Oklahoma City because they were thunderstruck in Oakland. Isn't that right, Dyer?
It is. They just looked completely flat. They were having a good start to the first half, but then just kind of tumbled off till then.
The first half was decent in my eyes, but after getting a lead of 14 points, how do you lose that? To me, they got complacent like they've done earlier in the regular season, but this time they couldn't pull it off because the Oklahoma City are playing so well right now. They beat the Spurs, which nobody had in their books. I thought it was a great series, and they did get some calls, a couple games, late-time refs, which is three now after game one when they didn't call that travel on Russell Westbrook, which makes me so mad. That's three games they've won, and those three games could literally change the entire series. We could end up being playing the Spurs right now instead of the Thunder, so it makes me mad. It's a completely different topic about like the NBA releasing that type of information, because the game's done. Nothing's going to change. Why let people know that you got cheated?
So yeah, we don't really need the transparency. It's just a bunch of BS. We don't really want to hear it from the refs anyways. But yes, the Thunder are crazy right now. They beat San Antonio and then they came out. They took game one. Now the Oklahoma City Thunder have won three games combined in San Antonio and in Oakland. Okay, the rest of the league has only won three games combined in San Antonio and Oakland.
And they are playing incredible on the road, and their bigs down low have been producing. We're right there.
Our guys down low got to step it up. I think the down low for the Thunder had Durant, Ibaka, and Adams had over 10 boards throughout the whole game, and I believe in the Warriors were just not even close to those boards.
No, not at all. In that game one, it was 52-44. Thunder on that rebounding advantage over the Warriors. During the regular season, they beat them 158-118. And this was the thing that going into the series was a big matchup for me, because Ernest Kanter's and Steve Adams during the regular season, in those three games that they lost, three very close games, mind, three games that the Thunder were winning in all fourth quarters in those games, but Ernest Kanter and Steve Adams had only played 5 minutes together on the court during the regular season against the Warriors. And so you see them with their length and athletic ability, and that really gave them problems in game one.
Yes, it did, because they allowed Enes Kanter to actually play his game. Enes Kanter throughout his whole career has been able to hit the mid-range jumper, and when they're playing together, it allows Adams to play the five, and Kanter can not essentially play a stretch four like a Kevin Love can hit the three, but he's a solid mid-range shooter. I would not want to leave him open, and he was getting those looks because we don't have the guys playing. We're playing small, so we have to like be aware, because they know that any point, it's like with Steph when he's at the three-point line, you got to be aware that if you pump fake, you're probably going to jump, and he's going to get to the lane. It's going to be easy, so you literally have to be set, slide those feet, and they couldn't do it because he was hitting that shot. And when they're going, it's pretty difficult to defend, especially with them on the boards. Because another thing, they were getting to the foul line so much more with those boards, like the second chance opportunities.
Oh, the offensive boards, ridiculous.
Yeah, and they shot 15 more free throws during the whole game than us, 32, and the Warriors only 17. Granted, they only shot 4% better at 68%, but they only made 22 of them. But still, those opportunities at the line, that's just so many chances of them missing shot.
Yes.
So it's going to hurt you in the long run.
And that's the thing. The Thunder did a great job getting to the line in this game, because let's be honest, it was not a great night for KD and Russ the first half at least. And then going into the third quarter, that's when Russell Westbrook just went mad on him. He said, "You thought my fashion sense was bad? Wait till you see what I'm about to do on this court." He just went off and crazy in the third quarter. They came back, as Herney mentioned earlier, from a 14-point deficit. They only had two turnovers in the second half. Golden State has never even lost a game this year with a double-digit lead. You know, the Warriors, they just really didn't look like themselves. They didn't look too poised. They were taking really quick shots. Draymond had a couple drives, just not even thinking about kicking out to any guys. He wasn't focused. They weren't running the Warriors offense, and they just weren't poised. And this statistically was the worst fourth quarter of the Warriors season this whole entire year.
It was the worst fourth quarter this year and had no teamwork whatsoever. I think about Curry had one basket made in the fourth quarter, and Klay had 0 points in the fourth quarter. They were just not taking their shots that they're good at making. They were taking the other opponent shots that they were forcing them to make.
Yeah, they were easily resorting to the three the entire game. And I want to touch up on what Marcus said about Draymond Green. Yes, his stats look pretty with 23 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and only 2 turnovers, which is a good number to see for how much he deals with the ball and passes it. But the thing with me is 20 shots. He went 9 for 20, which isn't too crazy, about 45%, but 20 shots for Draymond Green, that is crazy number to have for him. And the free throws, like you talked about Westbrook taking it to the lane, he was going hard, and he really did come out to play, because he went to the line 14 times, and he was hitting them. He hit 11 of them. Like, You can't get that. You can't let that happen. You got to force him to hit that body, deal with the contact, and just hope for a miss, because 14 points, that's 14 opportunities, clock stop. That's just bad, and that's what they needed to get back in the game in game one, and that's exactly what they did.
Exactly, and then you think about what have been the Warriors' rock, what have been their backup the whole entire season. Literally, their backup, their second unit, and the Warriors' bench was outscored. This great bench, you think about the Warriors and the strength in numbers, all the numbers that he got. They got outscored by the Thunder bench in this game and really got embarrassed, and that's a really big hit to the Warriors team.
Yeah, like our bench just did not produce. It almost looked like the Spurs when they played him in the last game of the series. Our bench did not come in. There was no help, because look, Klay scored 25, Curry had 26, Draymond had 23. Our big three is coming up with 70 points and we don't win a game. That is ridiculous to me, because at that any game that they are scoring that many points, we should be easily winning this game and we should be putting up at least 120, and we only put up 102, and that was a pathetic 102, especially after putting up over 60 in the first half.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Someone's got to get these bench players more hyped. You got to get them up. You got to get them going. It's the NBA Western Conference Finals. And so what does Draymond do? He drops a brand new Beast by Dre commercial. You know, tell me when to go. We ain't got that Kaepernick. I'm the man. I'm the man. I'm the man. Nah, tell me when to go. Real Bay shit. Draymond Green got the whole Bay going.
Ooh. Tell me when to go. 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 Tell me when to go.
Town business gonna be in the building.
That's right. Draymond had everyone turned up in Oracle tonight, from the team to the crowd. Maybe not the crowd. We'll touch base on that later. But he had the team pumped up tonight for sure. They looked like a completely different team. They took the lead and just ran with it and never looked back.
They definitely came out as a completely different team. They're 12-0 this year, coming off a loss. Let's face it, they did not lose back-to-back games all season year. Steve Kerr said that was his most impressive thing that the team did, because it is so hard in such a long season to not go back-to-back game season losing. But yeah, they definitely came out. Curry had himself a night, hitting 28 points, going 5 from 8 three-pointers. But the adjustments that I talked about from game 1 was the Warriors' bench was getting outworked, and they got beat on the boards. Well, this was not the case for game 2. The Warriors' bench came out and put out 50 points. See, they had help from everybody, whether it's Festus Ezeliya or Mo Buckets, Big Spates himself. They were getting help from everybody. They really played all together all around, and they beat the Oklahoma Thunder on the boards. That the Warriors had 54 rebounds, the Thunder only had 45, and they also beat 54. Them on assists. 26-22. They also beat him in the turnover margin, 16-12 turnovers. So this was really the Warriors' brand of basketball. We saw tonight there was much more fluent ball movement, and they were getting their shots, and they make it just look so easy.
Yes, they do, and it really was the type of Warriors' brand of basketball that we have seen all season. And for me, the biggest two numbers out of the whole game, and they're completely correlate directly with what Marcus just said, 54 rebounds, which turned into 48 points in the paint, which didn't use all of it, but definitely helped. And the free throw disparity this game, when Westbrook shot himself 14 free throws by himself last game, the Thunder only shot 19 tonight, where we shot 28. And those points were valuable, because there's a couple times where Iggy literally got fouled and he was making those free throws. And for somebody like him, who has been the hack-a-shack victim for anybody playing the Warriors, he was hitting those down tonight, except he was pretty bad on the other, like, offensive end, pretty like open threes that he just wasn't hitting down. But Finals MVP, he'll come when he does. But this game, they didn't surprise me in any way. I thought there was things we could have done a lot better, but one thing I was just happy about is that they had played with conviction. They actually stayed in the game, focused the entire time, and they handled business, because they knew this was legitly a must win. You cannot go back to Oklahoma City down 2-0. You lose one and the series is almost completely over at that point. It would be historic is not the right word, just because of the season that we're in, right? 73 wins, ridiculous.
Right.
And not losing back-to-back games, as you said, Steve Kerr,
yep,
that is a true accomplishment, because I knew that they were going to come out strong. And if they had lost that second one, oh, you know all hell is about to break loose, like the Cavs saw last year in the finals.
No doubt, no doubt. And that's what we saw tonight with the Warriors team. Like we said, Draymond Green with his new Tell Me When to Go Beats commercial. He came out and it seemed like he got the whole team turned up. And maybe that will carry over into game 3, because now the Warriors got to leave the Oracle Arena and go out to OKC. But this is something that has caught our eyes, and now it seems it's catching the eye of national media. We want to talk talk about it, and that is Oracle right now. And I got to give props to my boy Harnett over here, the big G, because he had this called out from at least last year in the playoffs when he started seeing the ticket prices go up and the different type of Warriors fans that started showing up to games. And now, since it's in the national media now, getting a little bit of coverage, here's Colin Cowherd from Fox Sports Radio breaking it down.
You know, there's an interesting thing with the Warriors that San Francisco right now, along with New York City and L.A., that's where the money's concentrated. I mean, Chicago's got Midwest money, but New York's got the hedge fund money. There's huge money in New York. San Francisco's got all the tech money. L.A.'s got all the entertainment money. And the tech money in San Francisco it's beyond generational. It's billions and billions of dollars. So Oracle Arena is very interesting. During the regular season, Oracle Arena, you can get regular season tickets. It's really loud. It's young. It's for regular people. They get drunk. They scream. They're crazy. Then in the playoffs, Oracle, all the rich tech billionaires, all the multimillionaires, the Google, the Apple, the Yahoo people, they buy the tickets, go to the games, and it gets quieter. So if you watch the Warriors, this is what happens in New York. Old Yankee Stadium was raucous and loud. New Yankee Stadium, the tickets are three times the price. You watch a Yankee game, there's nobody behind the plate. Those are all the private equity guys. Those are all the hedge fund guys. So as stadiums get more expensive and tickets get more expensive, it weeds out the little guy. But what it also weeds out is the loud guy. So the Oracle Arena, John, you were in the San Francisco Bay Area for 3 years. Did you notice a difference regular season to playoffs?
Yeah, it's much for a big regular season game. Or for like a first round playoff game, it's much louder than it got for conference finals and finals. But those fans who can afford tickets to the finals are not the get drunk at a basketball game crowd.
Yeah, it is noticeable.
Yes, this was something that was obviously very noticeable for us. So I was watching this the other day, Colin Cowherd and John Goulet, a producer I used to work with in 95.7 The Game. But they obviously noticed too, Goulet being from the Bay Area, Cowherd just obviously watching the game and picking up on it. But I was just sitting there watching this, and the first thought that came to mind was not only going to the Knicks game earlier this year with you, Harney, but just hearing you preach this and preach this and preach this about how the Oracle is losing that roar.
And that word Oracle really needs to have air quotes around it now, because to me that term is gone and it will not be back until sadly we suck. Because as of right now, and for me, I've chose not to go to any primetime games, which mean any playoff games, any NBA finals games, if it comes down to that and we reach there, because the fans are not real fans. And what he said was completely true. Colin was completely right in talking about the money issue, and it's horrible. I remember times where I could go, yes, they suck, but I remember getting tickets to a Timberwolves Warriors game for $25, lower level, row 13. Yeah, no, I didn't mess up. Lower level, row 13, $25. We got four for a bill. To me, that's heaven on earth to go watch my favorite team play at row 13. Now, if you try to get those tickets, I'm not even talking playoffs, even just the end of the season, from even where last year when we were just getting good, even jumped. Now you have to pay at least $1.50 to get tickets, and that's just you still getting a good deal, and they're probably playing the Sixers that night. And for me, that's ridiculous, because now if you watch these playoff games, it's ridiculous. It makes me so upset to see these fair weather fans there the entire time. There's no chance, and if the chance are coming, and they're from upper level, I think the only way now, because who would choose to sit upper level? I would choose to sit upper level, because that's where the chants are coming from. Listen to game five, because we go to Chesapeake Energy Arena in Oklahoma City for the next two games. But watch game five. The chants are coming from upper level. That's why they're so distant and they're not there. Lower level, quiet as a bird. ILIC is clapping, some couple fans yelling out chants, but the crowd does not get with them. And that's what they do not know anything about this team, because this team fuels by our fire and they need us. They use our energy to fuel theirs, and especially when we're on runs, that run, if the crowd's not in, it could only be 6 points when it could easily be 18 in a second, because the Warriors are capable of that, and they need our crowd to do it. And now it makes me mad to see the front five rows the entire game, especially late game situations where a crowd needs to be the most deadly it can be to disrupt the other team and fuel us. They are just crossing their arms and maybe giving it a couple claps, and that is the tech money. That is that tech money that is being infiltrated into Silicon Valley and Apple out in Mountain View, not too far from Oakland. They have their new headquarters being built, and it's ridiculous size, and Google's only expanding even more. This is horrible for real fans who've like watched this team and loved this team and are loyal to this team, because it is hard for me to go to a game, and it's hard for me to watch the games, because my friend even said the other day, stop yelling about the crowd. And I'm like, I know I can't do anything about it, but it aches me more than when they turn the ball over, because I know those turnovers could be made up with the crowd's intensity, because they really do get fueled by them. And it sucks to just watch them not even like give them the respect that they deserve, because they don't understand what history they're really doing and how much this really means to not even just the Bay Area, but to like basketball, which is a global sport. And how many people would have Stephen Curry jerseys? I see Messi and Neymar, these soccer stars, international stars, which soccer is the biggest sport in the world. Seeing them bring out basketball players and shout that out like Stephen Curry, this game is bigger than just the Bay Area. This is huge. And it sucks to know that when you have such a great thing, people don't appreciate it, because there's a lot of other people that will appreciate it that just don't have the funds to do that. And it's really heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, that's always been the Warriors' home court advantage. They've had the Oracle. They get the momentum. They get the swings. But I like to touch on something that you mentioned earlier in that rant when you said there's a difference between the top level fans now and the bottom level fans now. And this is just me telling you from my experience. We went to a Knicks game, like I mentioned earlier this year. We got lower level tickets. They're pretty nice. But man, let me tell you, I have never been to any sporting event in my life, and the tip off, the kickoff, first pitch, doesn't matter whatever it was. It was tip off for this game. And the Knicks won the tip off. So I'm standing up and watching the first possession of the game, and I'm getting tapped on my back.
Excuse me. Can you please sit down? I can't see. We can't see. I paid $200 for your tickets. I'm going to see every damn possession of this game.
So things have changed. And this is the best way I've tried to explain it. People are interested in the Warriors because the Warriors are quote unquote the Bay's team. Every other sport, there's two football teams, two baseball teams. There's one basketball team in the Bay Area. And like we touched on earlier in the show, yeah, they're going to San Francisco in a couple years, but they have been in Oakland these last couple years. The Golden State Warriors, they have been the Oakland Warriors. So a lot of this fan base, the We Believe fan base, the guys who were getting hype, those were all passionate fan base. And I say that stems a lot from the Raiders fan base, because Oakland and San Francisco, two completely different markets. You heard Cowherd touch on it. The San Francisco is more of a tech industry, a lot of money, a lot of startup money there. Oakland's more of a blue-collar town, working collar. So you get a lot of difference. Like I said, it touched on the difference between the upper level and the lower level. The way I look at it, the lower level is more of the Levi, Santa Clara, Niners fans with money who come in now and kind of swarmed, kind of took over, and they don't have the same energy. And as you said, the chants are coming from the upper deck. Those are more the Oakland fans, some of the true fans. But even now in the playoffs, they're starting getting the weed out a little bit, because it's over $200 to go to an upper deck, get a nosebleed section at a playoff game these days.
And I remember back in the day when you buy tickets prior to the event in a long time, it's like when you buy airline tickets, you want to get in the most advanced possible, because then you'll probably get it exactly at face value or the cheapest price possible. And now that is not the case. Now I choose to go a day before the game or the morning of the game and look for tickets. And only on Craigslist, I will not even use Ticketmaster or anything. Their prices are ridiculous for what people are asking for these seats. I looked up tickets just to get a laugh and make myself mad. The ticket prices on average right before the Western Conference Finals game one, they were going for lower level, which was still in the nosebleeds of the lower level. Anybody that's been to Oracle 30 is in the back. They were selling row 28 for $5.99.
It
flabbergasted me so much. I just became speechless. $599 for one game, and you don't even have floor seats. You might as well get upper level tickets, and it's still going for like $250.
What?
It's hurting the team. I think Joe Lacob and the Warriors should think of something, because I know they hear it. I know the players hear it. I know the players even hear it. And Steph Curry even mentioned something when he fell down game two, asked, did any of the fans help me? No. I remember even watching a guy that was in front row, he started taking pictures with his camera.
Do it for the gram.
He hit it for the gram.
Did it
good.
For the gram.
It's probably going to be the most looked photo in the entire Instagram.
Do too
guaranteed.
Much.
Guaranteed. Ridiculous. Who thinks in that position, this guy is hurt on the floor, everybody's watching him, nobody's helping him, first of all, and this guy decides, I'm going to take a picture with this with my Canon nice camera. Exactly, you can tell who brings a camera like that to a game? A first-timer. A first-timer, yep. These rich
first
people
game,
die.
Huh?
Exactly where you said. Who brings that sitting front row VIP? A player could easily slap you and hit you, and you're sitting there with a camera? God.
Sadly, that's what it's become these days. But it might actually be too bad of a disadvantage now going with the Warriors, now on the road going out to OKC. They'll be going out for games 3 and 4 in OKC, before returning back to the Oracle. Then maybe we'll see what happens game 6, 7. Who knows? There are 5 games left. This series is split 1-1. OKC did their job, came to Golden State, and took one game, and now they're going back with home court advantage.
And that really is a true home court advantage, especially in these playoffs. They've taken that term from the Golden State Warriors, because to me, that is not a home court advantage. I feel like they might be louder when they were going to other arenas during the regular season than what they are right now. But what the Thunder have going for them right now is that they are a single market. Oklahoma City has nothing else. Nothing else. No other sports team to cheer for. Like when they won Game 5 in San Antonio, when they came home, their entire town was there waiting for them at the airport. That shows love, and you best believe that they are going to be rocking in Game 3, which is going to be pretty tough. The Warriors better be able to handle that adversity, because it is going to be loud, and it was loud for Game 6 against Spurs, so I can only imagine what it's going to be like in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, no doubt. Game 3 is usually always the toughest game. We'll say for the Warriors, it's the toughest game they're going to have to try to win, because Game 3, going back to OKC, it's the first game that they'll have of the Western Conference Finals, so their fans will be hyped. We know that. After the OKC took 1-1, we'll see what they can do back now at home. It didn't matter during the regular season. They lost all 3 games at home. A lot of people don't like to look at regular season stats because they just said it don't correlate, which I agree, which playoff basketball is a completely different brand of basketball. But for the Warriors fans who thought this series was just going to be a sweep, or if your name is Skip Bayless and you didn't think the Thunder were going to win a game, let me just say this. If you paid attention to any of the regular season games, you would have noticed just how close the series was. In all 3 of the regular season games, the Thunder either tied or led in the fourth quarter of each game. So going into the series, you knew that had to be a close game, even though every game the Warriors began 8-point spread. I knew it was going to be a close game. The Thunder would come out guns blazing and do whatever they can to try to match and try to overcome the Warriors' biggest strength in that small ball lineup. They decided, we're going to stick big, and we're not going to try to match you. We're going to try to beat you with our game, with our length and our athletic ability. And so now they'll have a chance to do that back at home for Game 3.
Yeah, they're going to start the game off with a run, because that crowd is going to be hyped. We need to take that crowd out of the game. That will be the biggest X factor. Not one player. It will be the X factor. They need to play team ball. They need to play the best game they've played in the entire playoffs right now on Game 3, which for some reason it's 5 days later. I hate that.
Sunday.
Literally hate waiting for those games. And that arena is going to be loud. We need to control, and we cannot let Kevin Durant get loose. Westbrook, make him earn that 3, because he's not the greatest percentage shooter. He hit that in Game 1, which helped them, but take the ball out of Kevin Durant's hands, and if possible, Westbrook. Right, Dyer? Because I know that you love Westbrook. You like him when he takes the lane, but I'm just not a, I'm a huge Westbrook fan. I just think that Kevin Durant should be shooting 10 times more than you. You should not be shooting that many shots unless you're taking it to the lane. Do you think they can do it in Game 3 and 4? What do you think?
I think they can. They have enough offensive power to be making those shots. I believe Durant should be shooting more than Westbrook, but I think the Warriors are still going to come out on top. I believe the Thunder is going to get one game out of the 2 series over there, but I believe that the Warriors are going to take it home over coming back to the Oakland, maybe Game 6.
Okay, you got predictions, Game 6. You know, coming into the series, I thought Golden State had the advantage, because honestly, Golden State, with their historic season, they're doing things that were just untouchable, unmatchable. But I knew the Thunder, like I said, were going to put up a fight. That's why I said they could win at least 2 games. I wouldn't even be surprised if this series goes to a Game 7. Just the thing is, I want to see that Game 6 Steph killer instinct. I want to see some Michael Jordan. If I could be like Mike. And everybody's saying, Curry's the next comparison to Michael Jordan, blah, blah, blah. Well, I want to see some killer instinct, because you know how many Game 7s Michael Jordan played in? 0. Because he never lost a Game 7, because he never played in one. That kills him. Game 6 doesn't even get a chance. So I want to see some of that from Steph Curry, but I won't be surprised if this goes Game 7. What about you, Harney?
You said your pre-series prediction, and mine was a bold one. And I am a realist. I love this team, but I will be its hardest critic like I am myself, because I care that much. And I honestly believe that we were going to lose the first time throughout the entire season. We're going to lose back-to-back games. I had us winning in 6, but winning the first, losing the second, and losing the third, which would have been first back-to-back losses of the season, but then completely scraping the next 3 games. Because just like last year, and even more this year, after we lose, we come out hot and we play really well because we have the intensity. But another factor that the Thunder have, which I think that could propel them to Game 3 victory with the crowd, is that they are mad. We just murdered them on national television, and they got embarrassed. They flat out got embarrassed. The entire team did. There was like no no hot spots and nothing bright to see as a Thunder fan. I can't see it. Besides Durant hitting 11 for 18, having a good shooting night, but still absent in the second half because we D'd him up. And it was funny listening to his press game conference. He was talking about, should I shoot with three guys on me? I'll probably take that statistic than Russell Westbrook shooting like a deep might three that somebody was doing.
Might have to. He might have to because you can't put it all on KD. You know, that's the thing. They have two superstars on their team. So they really just got to figure out that balance. They've been trying to for years. Everybody always says, can KD and Russ get along? Will they stay together in OKC? Can they figure it out and do it together? And if they can, they're two of the top five, arguably, players in the league. So, I mean, who else are they going to find to play that's better than them? But the thing is, a lot of people were panicking and freaking out. I guess they're underestimating the Thunder coming into game one. I don't know how you could do that after they just took out the Spurs. But like I said, if your name was Skip Bayless and you said the Thunder don't have a chance to win a game, that's why you're getting fired from ESPN and getting paid somewhere else. You're getting paid, don't get me wrong. But there's just so many different things that if the Warriors can continue to play like they did in game two and repeat that success, they beat them on the offensive boards. That's Oklahoma City's bread and butter. They got to get those second chance points. So if they're going to get beat out on the boards, if the ball is going to be moving like it was tonight and not in game one for the Warriors, and they can repeat that success and repeat that Warrior way and how they go handling that offense, I think they can take care of them in the series.
We're going to need the three ball badly. We're going to need that to survive over in Oklahoma City because I believe that Adams, he's going to have, 5 days to rest almost, and he got pretty banged up today, which I liked, not because he got banged up, but more in the sense that the referees were letting them play. Like, even on our side, there were some calls that could have went either way, but they decided to hold the blowing the whistle because I can understand with all the scrutiny going on with the NBA and the refs. But I liked watching him play because this is the Western Conference Finals. Sometimes I feel like the referees forget that their calls have such a big factor in these games. And if a call shouldn't be called, it shouldn't be called. Don't just blow the whistle to blow the whistle for like a safety net. And it could literally decide a series, like how we touched on earlier. The Thunder have had three of those go in their favor just in these playoffs. And the Warriors, two, not go in their favor, and that's two losses, which could be critical later on, especially if that happens in the NBA Finals. They're almost acting like NFL replacement refs.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We don't want those replacement refs. So, I mean, you got the whole scrutiny of now how the transparency of the NBA and the refs. We saw the traveling in game one. We didn't even bring that up in our game one recap because obviously there was other plays in the whole game that led to the loss of the Warriors. It doesn't come down to one play. The whole style of play the Warriors were playing in game one represented the way they lost. And that's where it just comes down to they couldn't play like they played in game one because that's the Western Conference Finals. So they came out and played the Warriors ball that they usually play in game two. But that's the thing. We talk about this Western Conference Finals. No matter what's going to happen, we know it's going to be a good series because there's been good series so far. We've already got Thunder, Spurs. We've seen the Warriors take out the Rockets and the Blazers now. And so we're going to talk about also the Eastern Conference just a little bit, where it's been a little bit more of a cakewalk over there for LeBron and his crew. You know, they are now 9-0 undefeated after winning game one against Toronto. They'll play today as we release this podcast. So we'll see what's out of that on the next recap. But it's been a little bit too much cakewalk, and they're just on a new level.
Leveling up to the top now. I'm on a new level. I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on a new level. I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on a new level. I'm on it. I'm on it. I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level.
And the Cavaliers are undefeated right now in the playoffs.
Chain with the new best. I'm on a new level.
Yup, Cavaliers are taking it to a new level. They are having quite of a cakewalk this playoff series. They played the Raptors and they blew them out 115-84. They are looking healthy and hungry. After losing the finals last year, they're looking to get back to it. They are the first team to start the playoffs with 9 straight wins since the San Antonio Spurs 10 in a row back in 2012.
Yeah, and LeBron has seen the Spurs a lot through his career, and which is actually his 7th if he gets to the NBA Finals, which as of right now it's an assumption, but it's almost a guarantee at this point. And that would be his 7th straight finals, which is a ridiculous number, and that's with 2 different teams. And remember in 08, I believe he lost to the Spurs the first time he got there and he got swept. So that statistic with the Spurs, that shows a lot because that's in high reputation for any team to be mentioned with that great Spurs team that year. And I think LeBron is so happy to see Kyrie becoming the player he wanted to come play with, because Kyrie Irving now healthy, which is horrible not to see him play last last year because that's just bad for the game of game of basketball, no matter what, me being a Warrior fan. But Kyrie Irving has got some talent. He's really showing it right now. His handles the game one against the Raptors, he shut Kyle Lowry down. They had no chance whatsoever, and they out-rebounded them like ridiculous, and they let LeBron take too many easy shots. I don't know what the Raptors were doing or what game they thought they were playing, but this was child's play for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, no doubt about that. The Cavs, like the song said, have been on a new level this whole entire playoff. He's on a new level. Bron's hairline is on a new level.
Oh,
just got to push forward. Oh, but it's been a cakewalk for them. Toronto, you mentioned LeBron's got all of those conference appearances. This is the Toronto's Raptors' first appearance in the Eastern Conference Finals. So, you know, they're turned up north. We the North. They got Drizzy Drake playing on every goddamn radio station up there. I like to call them the Toronto Drakes. But they ain't going nowhere. No, no, no. I would quote a Drake song. I don't even know any, so I can't even say anything funny right here.
Dire?
Six, six, six.
Six ain't shit. But anyways, yeah, this is the Toronto's first Eastern Conference Finals appearance. But the way that the Cavs are playing, 9-0, undefeated, everybody is just calling sweep, sweep, sweep. Get the brooms out. It's sweep season. But, you know, I'm going to give them just a little bit of hope. Let me give you some reasons why I do not think it will be a sweep. Just a little bit of hope. Just a little bit for Toronto. They were 2-1 during the regular season. Like I said, regular season is obviously different than the playoffs. But they did get both of those regular season wins at home. Like I said, game three on the road is always the toughest game for the home team advantage team to win. So it'll be tough for the Cavaliers to go to Toronto. You know they're going to be up and ready for that game. It's their first ever Eastern Conference Finals game in that arena. They should be turned up. They should be ready to go. But I'm still taking the Cavs in five. What do you guys think? Does Toronto have any chance in this series?
No, I don't think Toronto has a chance whatsoever. The way they're looking, going seven games with Miami, they're looking tired, and the way the Cavs are taking it to the next level, it's just hard to see another outcome. I think the Raptors will be extinct soon.
Exactly. You said just they went seven in the last series and the series before that, and they do not have this luxury this time playing the Cavaliers, who are playing like their best basketball of the entire season. As you said, healthy and hungry for that title. LeBron is very, very hungry.
That's
and
right.
Without Jonas Valanciunas, the Raptors have no chance. I give them one game. I'll say 4-1. They'll win one just because the crowd is going to be crazy because it is the first time they're in this position. But I don't think Drake or anybody over there, Jurassic Park, as they like to call outside the arena during the games, can do anything. And they will be fossil soon. And for Drake, enjoy the views from the six while the NBA Finals occur, because that's all you'll be watching.
See you later, Drake. Okay, he'll be there. Finals, though, cheerleading for LeBron. Like, he was kicked out of the locker room after Miami Heat won it, and he was trying to get in. Drake, it ain't your day. But, hey, it's not all bad out there for the Raptors fans, because look on the bright side. Y'all still ended up with a top 10 draft pick in tonight's NBA draft lottery. That's right. Somebody call Forrest Gump, because if you got a ping pong ball fixation, this is what you want to be watching on TV. It's the ping pong ball palooza.
Ping pong balls.
The best way for me to fight the communists was to play ping pong. So I was in the special services, but all I did was play ping pong.
That's right. The NBA draft lottery was back this weekend. That means the biggest ping pong ball picnic kicked off tonight. And so there's a few big stories around the league. First one coming out was big Dikembe Mutombo. No one knew if he actually knew if the Sixers had the first pick or not, because a couple hours before the actual lottery happens, he just happens to tweet out, hey, congratulations on the first pick. Haven't had the first pick since Iverson, you know? You think that's just a coincidence, or you think he got tipped off on that? Any opinions?
This is real. I believe that he actually knew, because of course they don't actually do the lottery in front of everybody. It's done in a room behind, and why not do it a couple hours before? Because for them, it's no loss. All they have to do is prepare at the end of that point. And I believe that he definitely knew. He was contacted. He knew. And it was pretty bad. And for him, I love Dikembe, so it sucks to see him in this light, because you never see him. He probably doesn't even know how to use his social media stuff. So it was probably difficult for him to even put that out. So the thought process in between that just blows my mind that it even happened. But it happened, and he was right. And there is no coincidence. That was legit. He knew.
Yep, buying into the conspiracy theories, huh? But I think this is great, because going into this draft, the Lakers obviously had to get a top three protected pick. They had to keep their pick in the top three to keep their pick from being traded. And they had a 44% chance of falling out of that top three. So that was one of the also biggest storylines. But then to me, it would have been if the Lakers ended up getting that number one pick, you would have been hearing tons and tons of cries about conspiracy, 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 conspiracy. So I think it's hilarious now the Sixers got that first pick. And there are some fans who believe in the conspiracy that it's done before, which that's not shocking to anybody. But it is very interesting. But the Lakers did luck out. They did get to keep that top three pick, and they ended up moving up to two. So now they just entered themselves in the Ben Simmons sweepstake, because now they got a chance to get one of the top two players in a draft, which people are saying now it's a toss-up. Ben Simmons was regarded as one of the best one-and-done prospects. People say, don't compare him to LeBron. LeBron didn't go to college. He wasn't one-and-done. One-and-done prospect. This guy internationally just came. He went to LSU, didn't have the greatest standout season, didn't even help the team win that much. They didn't even make the tournament. So there are some questions about him. He only hit one three-pointer during the whole entire NCAA season. So you think about today's NBA game, the three ball, how it's expanding. That's why you look at who could be there for the Lakers at number two if Ben Simmons goes one. Brandon Ingram from Duke. This is a guy who a lot of people would like to compare to a poor man's Kevin Durant. He's long, skinny, lanky, but he can hit that three. He's one of those space guys. He can do a lot of those things that Kevin Durant can do and has that potential to match up. What do you think about these draft picks, and who do you think has the best upside potential?
I think that it will be a for sure conspiracy just because the Lakers didn't get number one, but if Philadelphia somehow drafts Brandon Ingram instead of Ben Simmons and Ben falls down to LA, then I will believe in the conspiracy and the NBA is trying to cover it up. Because if the Sixers go outside of Ben Simmons, they have to be seeing something that nobody else has ever seen, just because, yes, Brandon Ingram is a great talent as well, but he needs a little more development. Ben Simmons, yeah, the shot, but something that they're fortunate of having somebody pass them the ball back and have as many countless gym hours that you can. The shot, that's something that you can attain, but other skills that he has are harder to adapt to and actually learn and be able to master those fundamentals. And Ben Simmons, yes, he didn't help LSU win a bunch of games, but their team overall was not that great. He definitely did not look like he wanted to play there. I would watch games just to watch him, and I would see him get double teamed and he'd dish out, and these guys are missing open threes, but he still produced double-doubles on a nightly basis. He broke some of Shaq's records and tied some. So that's a big name to go down to, because that's the best in LSU history in basketball. But the biggest winners to me out of the draft are easily the Boston Celtics, the Phoenix Suns, and the Toronto Raptors, only because Phoenix has the number 4 and 13th pick, and they have two picks out of the top 14, which can be very big for them, especially to fill out that team. And with the Celtics, who are in the playoffs this year and did pretty well, they just lost Game 7. They have the third pick in the draft. And so besides Brandon Ingram and Ben Simmons, who are going to go 1-2, that's a foregone conclusion. Boston Celtics have to choose the crowd. And at my pick for them is up in the air, because they have a couple spots where they can get better at, but nothing too crazy. I think they're probably going to go down low big, see if they like anybody, possibly one of the European players. But the Raptors, once again, in the Eastern Conference Finals, they have the number 9 picks from the Knicks. And that is just going to do crazy for them if they can get somebody they really like to get in that position. Because the top 10 pick, and you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, that speaks huge for what next season can be.
Yeah, that's true. So we'll see a lot of movement. Of course, it's going to be tons of trades for the NBA draft like there is every year. Who's going to move up? Who's going to go down? But it looks like some teams are in great positions where they landed. Lakers certainly seem like they did the most by not only keeping that pick, but moving up with two. But my biggest question is Ben Simmons coming in internationally, didn't even want to play college ball in the first place. You can guarantee he knew about the Los Angeles Lakers his whole entire life growing up. They're a bigger international market, right? How much more do you think he wants to go and play in Los Angeles than playing in Philadelphia in the Sixers? Do you think we'll get one of those tank the workouts, he won't show up for the workouts, won't answer any questions, and see if he can tank himself to number two to the Lakers?
Even if Ben Simmons didn't show up to any of my workouts, I would be like, we're still drafting. Right. You have no other choice.
Right.
And for me, I believe that he does want to go to LA 100%, because just look at it. You saw Joel Embiid when he got drafted. His face was not that happy when he got drafted by the Sixers. Yep. And that will go down in draft day history as one of the worst reactions ever for a top pick. But for the Lakers, because even Ben Simmons had just stated before the draft lottery results occurred, he said that he was not going to sign his shoe deal until he saw if the Lakers got the number one pick or not. So that can be huge in there. So that's why I said the conspiracy, I will believe it, and I will believe in every single one. Just like when LeBron left to the Heat and the Cavs got 3 number one picks in 4 years, pretty much set him up for success. I will believe that they are helping the Lakers out because of how big and prominent the market are and how much the NBA people outside globally watch NBA just to watch the Lakers, which is all going to change now that Kobe Bryant era is gone. So we'll see how many real Laker fans there are left in the upcoming rebuild
stage. Oh, yeah. There's no denying that the Lakers are one of the marquee franchises in the NBA. They are a brand. They are a logo that you think of when you think of the NBA. So, of course, yeah, they want the Lakers to succeed. They haven't been doing too well the past couple of years. They're still in rebuilding mode. But I'm interested to see what they do with that pick if they do end up trading it. Because they could try to go and now try to flip that for a superstar because they're a little bit tired, and they got a few young players already. So they're tired of rebuilding, and they just want to be in win mode now because Kobe's gone. They got money coming off the books. They could go after someone big this summer.
And if we're talking about trades, the team that I could see easily trading their pick is the Boston Celtics if they don't see anybody worth having that pick and if they get some deals, because I can see other teams that are willing to trade up, especially like even just moving down with the Timberwolves, see what they can offer you. They don't have really great other talent, but maybe future picks because they do have a ton of other picks, and they do pick 16th also later in the draft. But it's going to be a fun draft day because I believe there will be a lot more trades than like other previous years because other previous years, this draft isn't crazy deep. It's more players that have potential in the long future, but it's a lot of development. These teams need to win now. They don't have time for that. Nobody got time for that.
And that's right. We're about out of time here on the Bay's Golden Days BGD Sports. And we're going to keep you covered on that NBA draft. You know we will, because we're going to get all that Bay Area coverage, even though the Warriors won't be picking probably one of the last picks of the draft. But we're going to keep you covered on that draft, Kitch. You know we're going to come back. We'll be back for the NBA Finals. If not, the Warriors make it, we'll be covering it. Let's check out how the Sharks are going to be finishing off in the Western Conference Finals. And we'll see how the rest of the Bay Area does. We'll get to some baseball soon, too. You know, we're everywhere. iTunes, Google Play now. Come check us out at BGD Sports. It's the Bay's Golden Days, baby.
Instagram and Twitter at BGD Sports. Hit us with a follow.
Yee! BGD!
Golden!
Golden! Golden! Golden!
Golden!
Steady gold. Pony boy.